Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Check us out streaming on ESPN Plus as well. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egbuamuke. And Jhené, while you and I won't be enjoying any kinds of beers during the body of the show today, I'm sure the people in New York might be thinking long and hard about raising up a couple of cold ones today, because we had the news that you heard in the update there and have seen around so far. The New York Mets are acquiring all-star shortstop Francisco Lindor from the Cleveland Indians. Obviously, a lot to unpack there, as a bona fide charismatic star is finding his way to the big city. We will get to plenty of that here. Jun Lee, one of our great ESPN writers and baseball analysts, is going to join us here later in the show to try and figure out what this means for the bigger picture. But, Jhené, the bigger picture is exactly where we have to start and really pick up from yesterday, because you and I were getting on this show while everything seemed to be going to hell yesterday around our nation's capital. There was so much to take in. And so, Jhené, at a very base level, how are you doing today as someone who's had to process all of this like the rest of us?
I am trying to push through. And, you know, when you start thinking about how you're really doing, you start getting worried that, like, the emotions are going to actually come through. So I'm going to stay in formation. But I think it's mixed emotions. On one side, we saw everything transpire with the Capitol, and we're just so disheartened that we feel like the divide has come to this boiling point. And on the other side, we're seeing democracy and how we're fighting for it to, you know, stand. And all of the great work of activists and everyone that has empowered communities to come out and vote, and us finalizing that process so that we can finally start 2021. So I think it's mixed emotions. You know, on one side, it's the disappointment and how it's disheartening. But on the other side, we have made strides. It just seems like yesterday, it makes you question how far have we really come.
We saw democracy undermined and attacked yesterday in a way that was jarring for everyone involved. And it was so jarring, Jhené, that we looked up, and I think a lot of people were still amazed that NBA games were played, that sporting events went on amidst this time, because we had seen what had happened, the disruption in the NBA season, the players' decision not to play after the shooting of Jacob Blake inside the bubble. So, Jhené, I'd ask you, were you surprised at all that we had games played last night, that things went on, I'd say business as usual, knowing full well the hearts and minds of a lot of players were elsewhere?
Well, there's a major difference between what transpired over the summer with the postponement of the games and what happened yesterday with the game still going on. And you see, the way that the NBA and the WNBA and the greater sports world reacted to the likes of Jacob Blake and George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and those situations, they were microcosms of the institutional and generational issues that fuel oppression in our country, and how we treat one another as human beings, whether it's stereotypes, profiling, all with dire consequences that have been neglected in the national dialogue. And it was all about taking peaceful action by these athletes to protest what their communities have been experiencing since the inception of our country. It was raising attention to the injustice in the criminal justice system and all of that and beyond. And thereafter, we saw the multiple ways that athletes and, you know, teams coming together and leagues overall trying to create this meaningful change during that time, empowering people to vote. And yesterday, in contrast, I feel like, as you said, Junior, it was democracy being tested in a way that, honestly, not surprising for those who go through the experience where now our voices are being heard and people are hearing it differently, but still shocking to actually realize that this is real life. And in a way, you know, we are here. This is where we are. And it's bubbled to the surface, and now we can see it straight forward. And now the players, they chose to play yesterday because the way that the Capitol was treated was an act of privilege. It was a reminder of how much work we have to do to bring people together. And there shouldn't be a burden on the athlete to try to deal in real time with another problem that is another problem not of their own creation. So I feel like the responsibility, and you asked me how I felt, is exhausting. But nonetheless, we push for positive change. And in that moment, those athletes saw that they're so far removed from what that privilege was. Go out there and play. And I think I'll just leave it here, because the Celtics Heat game, they put out a statement. Quote, "We have decided to play tonight's game to try to bring joy to people's lives. But we must not forget the injustices in our society, and we will continue to use our voices and our platform to highlight these issues and do everything we can to work for more equal and just America. And that's not what they saw yesterday on the Capitol. That's contrary to everything that they've been working for.
Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Agumake. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Chinay, what you said there, I think, is the exact reason why we saw players go out last night, because in a lot of ways, it was a much less direct shot than what we had seen this summer. This summer was about attacks on black bodies. This was summer was about a direct shot at those communities. This, like you said, was a reminder of the privilege that stands as an affront to that. Like, you look at just the visuals of yesterday. Remember the Black Lives Matter protest that went on in our nation's capital? During those protests, you had the images of National Guard troops on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And yesterday, we have four people that died. We had someone that was shot inside the Capitol, 52 people arrested out there. And the feeling was it would have been worse had it been the crowd from this summer, had it been black bodies out there. And I think, Chinay, this is what it comes down to. The close proximity of where these things happen is, I think, what makes it not surprising but jarring, because you've got two things so close together, what we saw this summer and this now, that it's impossible to ignore the visuals in all of this. And it made me think of this. Wright Thompson did a piece on the 10-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina down in New Orleans. And he was going around, he's being led down there by a rapper-producer named Nesby Phipps, who was taking him around there. And that rapper-producer claimed that he could reduce the entire ecosystem of New Orleans down to one street corner to show poverty and wealth all up one against each other. And he went up here and pulled up to Hamilton Street, said there was a chain link fence covered in green cloth or nylon so nobody could see inside. New Orleans Country Club on the other side. He goes, there, here's a golf course covering the fence like that because it's out of sight, out of mind. We don't cross that line. They don't cross that line. And he pointed out that on the other side of that, it's people selling drugs. It's all these things happening. It's extreme poverty next to extreme wealth. It is suffering and it is privilege next to each other. And I think that's a lot of what this situation brought to the front. But like we mentioned, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. In the midst of all that, games were played last night. And we'll talk to one coach next who had to be part of that tough decision to go out and play. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Ngolick Jr., Chinay Agumake. And we head now to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Excuse me. That's a fine. The Goodyear Hotline for us.
Dollar.
Excuse me. The Goodyear Hotline as we check in now with Atlanta Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce, who joins us here. And coach, we appreciate the time. I'd ask, how are you? But it really, I think the only important and appropriate question is, how have the last 24 hours been for you and your team?
You know, it's tough. The first thing we did at our afternoon shoot around before the game yesterday was address the team of the current affairs in our country and, you know, try and sum it up. As to how we've gotten here and why we're here and why it's important to understand what essential means. And during this year, the word essential has been really instrumental in identifying what's important to you, because there's a lot of things that are going on and we just need to remain hopeful and we really need to remain diligent about what's essential to us individually. You know, We have a privileged position in our job. We have to understand that, but it is still just a game. Our family, our friends, our support system is extremely important because there's so much going on, and yesterday was a clear example of that.
Lloyd Pierce, Atlanta Hawks head coach, joining us here on Chinay Ngolick Jr. on the Goodyear Hotline. And coach, as you mentioned, as someone whose team played last night versus the Hornets, and you had to be in that leadership position, especially addressing your players, how did your players react in that moment and also the poise they exuded going out and still playing?
You know, it's hard. You know, and we didn't play well last night, and it's no excuse to the events that are going on because they had to come out and play as well. But you know, it's a heavy thing. I almost equate it to 9/11. I almost equate it to the election night. I almost equate it to the night when the NBA shut down for the pandemic and the coronavirus. Like, the world just seemed to stop. Everything just seemed to stop as you're seeing a federal building being infiltrated. by a domestic terrorist, and you're seeing property destroyed, and you're seeing nothing happen, and this is the country we live in, it really doesn't seem real. It really doesn't. And for our guys who are just learning about some of this stuff, who still are kind of removed because it doesn't affect them directly, I think it's starting to hit home more and more each day. We've been through so many of these issues throughout this year that I think that you'd have to be really numb to not have it hit you personally and be affected. And so I addressed it with the guys, and you know, they're doing a great job of staying together and being able to talk to each other about the stuff that's going on. And obviously you got to go out there and play. And we did. And you come back and you deal with it again, because it's everywhere. It's on Twitter. It's on CNN. It's on MSNBC. And you can't avoid it, and you shouldn't avoid it. You got to know what's going on in our world.
Coach Lloyd Pierce with us here on Chiney and Golic Jr. And Coach, you're someone who's been incredibly thoughtful and outspoken on all of this, certainly was one of the leading voices during a summer that saw so many of these issues come up. And so for you, who has seen all of this year happening the way it has, and now this latest event on top of it, in your mind, how do things begin to change if we are ever to get to a point where that's possible?
You gotta reckon with your past. You gotta deal with the past. You gotta deal with the reality of the divisiveness in our country. When it comes to race, when it comes to politics, when it comes to power, the inability to coexist. There wasn't a clearer example of that than yesterday. This was about power. This was about race. This was about politics. We're just so divided. And, you know, in some of those areas, it is pretty much defined. Some areas, you know, there isn't a clear understanding of it. It's just one versus the other, inferiority versus superiority. And until we can really address that, we're going to have these issues. This to me feels like the start of another major pandemic. And it's now about power and politics more so than ever. We were celebrating kind of a huge moment here in the state of Georgia. You know, Raphael Warnock as the first out of the state of Georgia black man to head to the Senate has been overshadowed by what we're now seeing. And that's power in politics. No one wants to see that. No one wants to see a Democratic black man head to the Senate out of the state of Georgia. And so it's been tampered with. It's been frustrating to see, because it's truly someone showing that as we have increased voter participation here in the state of Georgia, it's been the highest ever African-American voter response in the state of Georgia. The runoffs were more than the primaries. And the people spoke for Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff. But it's been overshadowed. But the people spoke here in the state of Georgia because they wanted to see change, as we all want to see change. And so I just think it's been extremely frustrating, but I also think this is the start of us seeing that divide clearer and clearer when it comes to politics and power.
What is remarkable is that the Atlanta Hawks, you guys announced that you agreed to refinance the construction loan for your practice and training facility, I believe the Emory Sports Medicine Complex, with a syndicate of black-owned banks. And that's the first time a professional sports franchise has had that loan underwritten by black banks. How did you guys make that push, and why was that important to your team and your franchise as a whole?
Yeah, I wish I could tell you the details. What I can say is Tony Ressler, he and his wife, Jamie, that they're the principal governors of this team. From day one, since I've been here, they've been extremely instrumental in connecting with the community. Our hashtag, our mantra is true to Atlanta. We've all tried to exemplify that in all of our actions, and their leadership coming from the top has not been short of it at any stretch of the imagination. They've done the food security drives with Gooder. Obviously, you talked about the refinancing with the black-owned bank for the practice facility. They were instrumental in us being able to get State Farm Arena open for both the primaries and the runoffs for the city of Atlanta, Fulton County specifically. They've donated a tremendous amount of money to the RISE Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship for minority companies here in the city of Atlanta. And so when you're committed and you're true to the city of Atlanta, as they've been and as our entire organization has been, you know, it's a commitment. And I think the city feels that. And I think the city has been tremendous. I think the city of Atlanta and all of the people that I've been able to connect with to get to rally behind voter participation, to bring people to the arena and to all of the different areas so that they could vote, has been the driving factor. We know about Stacey Abrams and Fair Fight. We know about NSA and all of the different organizations, Major James Woodall and the NAACP here in the city of Atlanta. All of these organizations are the reasons why us and their groups have turned Georgia blue, because they've allowed the people to make those decisions. And so that's the biggest thing. That's the most important thing that we can do, is be a part of how we can have our city and our people take part in making decisions of leadership. And it was a day of celebration. It still is a day of celebration for the people in the state of Georgia, because they have spoken in both the elections and it's been instrumental. And so moving forward, I think we continue to be true to Atlanta and continue to be true to the state of Georgia, and doing what we need to do with the local and grassroots organizations that are helping with economic empowerment, that are helping with voter participation, that are helping invest in our communities of low-income area, that are helping with COVID situations for people of color that don't have healthcare access. We continue to stay true to the city. We continue to stay true to the communities, and we continue to do our part to be a part of the solution.
Yeah, and with leaders like you, Coach, that is certainly going to be a solution that everyone needs to get behind and should be able to help with. Coach, we can't thank you enough for your time, your insight here, and we hope to talk to you again very soon under better circumstances.
Thank you.
Best of luck, Coach.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Lloyd Pierce with us, head coach of the Atlanta Hawks on the Goodyear Hotline. Can't thank him enough for spending a few minutes with us on what has to have been an extremely hectic 24 hours for these men that decided to go out there and try and still play games through all of what's going on. So we'll get into plenty more of that, and we'll make the awkward transition back into the world of normal sports, because we are getting ready for a massive wild card weekend in the NFL. And as we do, I want to get into something, because coming up next, I feel like everyone's gotten the conversation wrong when we talk about the player under the most pressure going into this weekend. We'll get to who that is next. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
A big name on the way to the Big Apple. Francisco Lindor and the New York Mets, now a deal in place there. How big of a seismic shift is this, not only for the Mets, but for baseball? We'll talk to June Lee, our ESPN MLB writer, coming up here in about 10 minutes. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agwumike. But Chinay, I have been fascinated because I look on ESPN.com and I check out tons of great work. Our great ESPN NFL analysts are predicting all sorts of stuff. You can check out the article on .com heading into this super wild card weekend. Three games on each day, and one of the topics talked about pressure. Who's under the most pressure going into this weekend? And Chinay, I'm going to ask you who's under the most pressure, but I can already tell you, I think most people are making a mistake about this, and I'm curious to hear who the player is that you think going into this weekend is actually under the most pressure.
Cliff, you're slipping, bro. Our board up. Under pressure. I feel like we should have that going. So I think this has been a very, very unique season, one that has presented challenges for all teams, all sports in different ways. And in the midst of this, I think the Baltimore Ravens have had expectations, especially how they fizzled out of the playoffs last season, especially after Lamar's MVP campaign, that, okay, maybe those expectations over the challenges of the season have been tempered, even though they finished the season strong. And I feel like the obvious answer by many people is Lamar Jackson. And, you know, I was just thinking about myself in this, like, I even put expectations on him. He was a guy that I was so excited to get, especially for my fantasy football team. So much so, he moved me to get Junior on Amazon a purple shirt with the goat on it. You know what I mean? And it was just kind of funny because what he's been able to do in the regular season has not been able to be carried over to the postseason. he's a victim of his own success. And, you know, I was just looking up the numbers because your girls and numbers, you know, men lie, women lie, and numbers don't. He has a total QBR of 72.3 in the regular season, but 21.6, the lowest by any quarterback with multiple playoff starts since QBR in the postseason. And clearly it's a small sample size, but still, I think the expectations of the postseason shifts the narrative on him in a year where I feel like, and this is the cool, well, I guess it's cool to me because, like, I'm rooting for him because I root for everyone outside, you know, pretty much I root for everyone, period. I think the narrative is that they have overcome a lot and they had lost games that we all expected them to win. And now that sort of takes the pressure off of them and people are just happy they're finishing stronger. And so I feel like that's a long way to say that the pressure is not necessarily all on Lamar.
No, Janae, I'll say this. I hear people, exactly what you said, they're a victim of his own success. That comes up and that's a big part of driving why on here. And we're going to hear from Lamar Jackson because they clearly hear the noise of people on the outside counting them out in a rematch against the Titans team that beat them last year and beat them earlier this year and all these different things. I think there's only one name that makes real sense when it comes to who has the most pressure on them going into this weekend. I'll tell you exactly why after we hear from Lamar Jackson on why he believes people are counting them out.
It's when to go home right now, you know. I want to win regardless. I don't really care about what people got to say, you know. Only been in the playoffs twice, you know. My young career, you know, other people been in the league forever. I haven't been in the playoffs at all, but it is what it is, you know. But definitely trying to erase that narrative right there. That's the number one right now in my mind, for sure.
Now, Chiney, Lamar Jackson mentioned his two playoff appearances already. He's getting ready to make his third. According to the Elias Sports Bureau, he's the youngest quarterback at the time of his third different season making the playoffs. He is 24 years old. How is there any real pressure on a guy who is this impressive, who has now been the second quarterback in the modern era to lead his team in rushing in back-to-back years? Is there pressure on that guy? I can't believe it. The one name that makes sense to me in all of this is Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers going into this weekend in the matchup that they've got against the Bills, to me, has to have the most pressure on it in this spot. Because you look down the list, Janae, you're going to go Lamar Jackson. The reasons I just mentioned kind of make that null and void to me. Josh Allen is just Lamar Jackson in 2020's clothes this year, right? An MVP caliber season coming off a disappointing playoff loss last year for a team that has exploded. He's gotten so much good press this year that it can't possibly be him because we feel like he's managed to do the impossible and improve. And so, Chiney, I look at those young ones. I'd have even taken Baker Mayfield as a submission were it not for this tweet. Let Jake Trotter, our ESPN Cleveland insider, kind of just make this simple for you. The Browns haven't practiced all week. Their head coach has COVID. Their building remains closed. Their quarterback hasn't thrown a football since Sunday, and they have about a half dozen starters on the virus list. Chiney, once that happened and now we're aware of the Browns situation, I don't know how we can put pressure on Baker Mayfield, even if it had been there before, because there's no earthly reason they should win this game.
You're right, and I guess that just highlights, especially this season, how it's presented more challenges where you take the pressure off, and especially guys that are younger, right? And I think your point of the aging quarterbacks is really fascinating because what, Phillip Rivers is 39, Drew Brees 41, Tom Brady 43, correct? And so out of all those three, the older quarterbacks, the only one without a ring, the only one that is possibly likely to hang it up, you know, in the speculation like the other three, like the pressure has to be the guy that hasn't delivered in a way that those other two have at least one thing to show for it when it comes to their legacy.
And Janae, that's why I'm baffled because it feels obvious. Like, I don't feel like I'm saying anything revelatory right now in this, but I look down the list and I see everyone pointing out these other names. Like, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Ben Roethlisberger, like you mentioned, are made men in all of this. The difference that a ring makes in a Hall of Fame campaign, like the one Phillip Rivers is going to get ready for, is seismic for me,
Janae. I don't like you right now.
Why is that?
I really don't like you. Because, like, I am 28 years old, professional athlete currently for the LA Sparks. And, like, I come front every day. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to win a championship. It matters so much to me because I feel like, honestly, that's the only thing I haven't really done. I did it in high school, didn't get to do it in college. And then now at the professional level against the best of the best, that's awesome. But it's funny because it's graded on a scale of how much does a championship matter to that athlete, right? How much does a chance, I mean, obviously, you know, winning a Super Bowl would matter a lot to Phillip Rivers, but at some point, you know, some people are just good with their legacy being pretty good and better than most. But, I just think it's funny because every time these things are sometimes subjective per the athlete, I would love it, but I'm still good regardless, but it would help. I don't know if his current situation on his team makes it more likely for him to have the most pressure for him to win a Super Bowl before he retires.
Well,
that's like more of an internal thing. You know,
I would say, Chinee, the one reason I see a lot of pressure is because we've erased a lot of the things from Phillip's past with the Chargers that were the issues before. Phillip Rivers in back-to-back seasons before he got to Indianapolis was sacked 32 and 34 times. He's been sacked over 30 times, 9 different times in his career. He finally had the best offensive line in his career. He was sacked 19 times.
Finally.
He got the ball out quick. And now he's in a position because he signed a one-year deal. We don't know if he's going to be back. And so as he stares at that cliff without the hardware of the other older quarterbacks, I can't help but feel like the pressure lies there. Now, Chinee and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. But coming up next, how does the Mets getting Francisco Lindor not only shift the balance of power in Major League Baseball, but the balance of power for the sport overall? We'll get to that with one of our guests next, and we'll do it after this word from Body Armor. Start the new year off right by committing to your fitness goals, whatever they are. For me, it's just get 1% less fat every day. Not body fat, just get a little less fat. Whatever your goals are, let Body Armor Lite help you achieve them. Body Armor Lite is the low-calorie sports drink that's hydrating all of your activities. It's got no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Whatever your goals might be, big or small, Body Armor Lite is keeping you hydrated during your workouts and your busy day. And from now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product, and you'll earn $10 in fitness cash to select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. How big a deal, Francisco Lindor with the Mets? Back after this, Chinee and Golic Jr.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Pressure. It is always interesting this time of year who we want to put pressure on and why.
Put it on me. I'm a diamond.
I can say, you don't got to worry about bursting pipes over here. It is strictly diamonds. Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinee Agwumike. We've talked a lot about who has pressure on them heading into this super wild card weekend in the NFL. You can hit us up with that at Chinee, at Mike Golic Jr. on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. If there's someone that we're missing right now, we have looked and kind of said Lamar Jackson, not really the leader in the clubhouse, but Phillip Rivers, one of the aging quarterbacks without a ring, going to be an answer. We can get into more of that in a little bit, but we've also had big news today in the world of Major League Baseball. Francisco Lindor heading to the New York Mets. And for more on that, we're delighted to welcome in June Lee, our ESPN writer, does such a great job covering Major League Baseball. And June, I'm curious for you because I saw you profiled Francisco Lindor back in 2017. So just how big of a shift is this, not only for the Mets, but for baseball with this?
I mean, I think it's a pretty big deal. I mean, I could probably say this. I mean, people at Park Avenue are probably thrilled about this, you know, where the Major League Baseball offices are located, because Francisco Lindor is just this incredibly charismatic, this guy who has just this enormous personality and honestly has probably one of the whitest smiles I've ever seen in my life. Like, when I was interviewing him, it was so noticeable how just white his teeth are and how much people gravitate towards this guy. He's a guy who I think people around baseball have viewed as someone who could be this incredible ambassador for the sport for years and years now. And even people within the Indians organization that I've talked to have talked about how, you know, the fact that he was playing in Cleveland was probably holding him back from kind of realizing his full potential as a face of baseball. And so for baseball, I think Major League Baseball as a business is probably very happy about Francisco Lindor moving to the New York Mets. Now, if you're a Cleveland Indians fan today, I'm probably furious. I mean, at the end of the day, you're trading a guy who is a generational type talent at the shortstop position for prospects who you hope maybe turn out to be three quarters of the player that Francisco Lindor is. And for me, this is just kind of a disturbing, you know, sad trend for fans over the last couple of years when you see the Cubs trade Yu Darvish to free up salary money pretty much after he puts up a Cy Young Award caliber season. You see Mookie Betts traded from the Red Sox last year. in large part due to financial flexibility reasons. And so to see Francisco Lindor, kind of the third, huge big name player traded because of financial reasons in the last, just two off seasons, for me as a baseball fan, is just kind of depressing to see. But, as kind of someone who loves the business of baseball too, it's a huge deal for Major League Baseball, because this is a guy who you're, sending off to one of the biggest franchises, one of the most recognizable franchises in the country. And he's going to be this, massive star, and the Latin community in New York, I think, is just going to love watching Francisco Lindor on a night-to-night basis.
Let's lean into that. Jun Lee, ESPN writer, here with us on Chanae and Golic Jr. on the Goodyear Hotline on ESPN Radio. And Jun, let's lean into that, because it's got to be fascinating. Finally, you're getting a move from Cleveland now to New York, as the Mets have acquired Francisco Lindor. What does this really mean? You have an ownership shift now, Steve Cohen, and you have this new decision to bring in a star player. What is this ripple effect that will happen for MLB?
Yeah, I think it's hard to understate how important Steve Cohen is towards just changing the perception of the Mets. This guy is one of the richest people in the country. He's a billionaire. He has made so much money from from so many different places. And has obviously gotten into some shady financial trouble in the past as well. But, the Mets have been looking for someone. Mets fans have been looking for someone that has been willing to pay money to make the Mets as great as they hope the Mets could be, given that it is such a big market and given the passion of that fan base. I've talked to a lot of my Mets fan friends who were so ecstatic about the fact that someone who is as enthusiastic about the Mets as Steve Cohen has come in to run that organization. I mean, if you just look at Steve Cohen's Twitter account, it's really, really funny and insightful to look at the owner of the Mets kind of tweeting like a Mets fan about the team's transactions when he has all this power over it. So it's kind of hard to understand just kind of the paradigm and reputation shift that I think is happening around the Mets organization. I mean, even if you look back earlier this offseason, Trevor May, who's also a Twitch streamer, was a reliever for the Minnesota Twins, and he said a large part of the reason why he signed with the Mets this offseason was because of the reputation shift that's happening within this organization, because Steve Cohen has come in and taken that team from the Wilpons and is starting to change the reputation around that team. So this is going to be a massive, massive shift. I think we're only starting to see the beginnings of, in terms of the cultural effect that's having on the sport, but the Mets are a legit player now in kind of these huge free agent signings. And I think we're going to see kind of a reputational shift happen around that organization as you see Sandy Alderson and Cohen kind of take the reins of that organization from the Wilpons.
It's really incredible to think about all the different ways this signals change in a positive way for Major League Baseball. Jun, we appreciate the time and the insight as always, man. You're the best, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, buddy?
Thanks for having me on.
Jun Lee with us, our ESPN writer here on Chanae and Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And listen, this is seismic, no matter how you want to put it on here. By doing this, the New York Mets acquiring Francisco Lindor have been making moves.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
That is the voice of Christine Lisi.
Lovely
jumping
voice.
Jumping into our conversation, which we always welcome in these instances. But, Chanae, I do look at this move, and what June said is the first thing I said, which is Major League Baseball, which has for so long been a regional sport, who has superstars like Mike Trout that are stuck in places that people tend not to see. Anytime you can get one of your big names who is young, like he said, vibrant, wants to bring the fun to baseball into a place like New York with a franchise like the Mets is looking to turn things around, I think that's a grade A on the report card for them.
I can't believe I'm about to do this, but anytime you have an owner, your success will follow, especially where the money reside. Where the money reside? That's pretty much what Jun Lee was basically saying.
Yeah, more or less, but it is fascinating, Chanae, because New York, especially on that side of the street, the Mets side of the street, the Knicks side of the street, have had to suffer through a lot of time period of having ownership that looked so bereft of any desire to want to go out there and actually put a winning team forth that I'm sure a lot of them just forgot it was possible. And so to see this as a fan, what more could you want than to see your team not only spending money, but bringing in superstar talent as they do it?
New life to the Mets and the Nets. Okay, New York.
Hey, listen, a lot of things in work right now in New York City. It's an exciting time there. There's no doubt. But Chanae, there is also no doubt that we know all the different things that are at play in the world right now that are anything but exciting. And so in light of yesterday's events, how do we move forward, especially the athletes that still have to go out here and try and play? We'll get into that next. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.